Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into a new episode of Talk Back with C.E. Moore. This time around, TCM reviewer Michael Wilds joins me on the line as we sit down and talk with Rema Soul about their new album, Red. But before we go ahead and play that interview for you, we're going to go ahead and play a track off the album, and that track is called I Need an Answer.
Questions, questions, all in my mind. But if the answer is right here, maybe I'm blind. I don't know, no, I don't know. But if you are who you are, take the wheel right now. I'm out of control, yeah. I'm out of control, yeah. I'm out of control, yeah. I'm out of control, yeah.
Yeah, they saying that I'm going in, and it's like a shot of adrenaline on this mic. Like I'm a riddling, giggling, cause I'm living and giving up every minute to the one giving us light. I'm all in for the lump sum till the sun comes, or the fat lady done sung her last song, or till the drum thump, rub up, bump, 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 and the trumpet sound, and we blast off. But that don't mean I ain't got questions, though. I'm imperfect and less than most. But while I'm searching for a purpose, what emerges is coming less than dope.
Everybody talk, nobody listen. Everybody wanna look at me, cause I'm Christian. People all around wanna see how I'm living. Though I move on, I can choose one moment in my life, wanting to be loose from. I've been broken, peace stolen. People need to see what it means to believe. On, everybody wanna know why I do what I do. No, God saves, gotta let them know he's the only way I'ma make it through. Everybody wanna question life, but ain't nobody ready the answers through him. Everything I do, everything I say, I do it for the people we lose.
Still never risking, looking for the words that can free us in an instant. Distant, looking for the exit right there. Breathless, walking like sheep with a death wish. Not a mention of a name or a mention of a change. In the center of the pain, side to side like a rose petal in the rain. Trying to pedal in the rain, getting burnt like kettle to the flame. We never budge or settle for the change. Never true, never transparent, cellophane. Got some good in our blood, but I bet it's vain. And it's strange when you see somebody grab hold. Choose life, break free from the black hole. Never give in, never stop, never look back on these trials. Gotta move, gotta strap on, listen up.
Dive right into questions. We have kind of a special treat today. We've got Michael Wilds on the line with us. I normally don't have a co-host for these things, but Michael wrote the review of the album this time around. He's a new addition to the staff since you guys last interviewed with me. And since he reviewed the album, I thought it'd be cool for him to hop on the line. I asked him the other day, hey, do you want to hop on the line with me and Rema Soul? And he said, yeah. So he's here. And He's a little hard to understand, though, because he's not cool and American like the rest of us. He's from Jamaica. So,
got oh, man.
Funny accents. Cool. Isn't that right, Michael?
That's cool.
But hey, thanks guys so much for joining us on the line. You're obviously here to talk about your new album, Red, which just dropped this past Tuesday, March 27th. And it is receiving a lot of high praise from a lot of different people, including the only site that matters, the Christian Manifesto. Talk a little bit about the new album, because in all honesty, I talked to you guys after Fingerprints came out, and you guys know I was buzzing off that album. I didn't think you guys would ever outdo it. And here you guys come with Red, and I'm just blown out of the water. Michael's blown out of the water. Talk about your progression over the last couple years since the last release.
Cool. Yeah, definitely a lot of progression since we last spoke, as far as just music and ministry all together. But yeah, I mean, Red is a project that's really just near and dear to our hearts, because we've had a very interesting, you know, last year and a half or so, you know, as Rhema Soul, and, you know, we've gone through ups and downs and all around and all that kind of stuff. So, but it's been good, man. And, you know, this is our first project actually going outside of, you know, our usual producer, which is G-Styles. And we really just made it a point, you know, to challenge ourselves this time around. It was just, we had a new team around us. We had, you know, new management around us, just new everything. So we just decided to just really just go all out and just take risks, as we've been saying, musically and artistically, and just touch on things that we've never touched on before, and really just expand what we were doing in every way. And I think that we accomplished that, if I can say that myself. And yeah, we really just put it all out there, and we're really, really proud of it. And I know a lot of people, it's really different, obviously, from what we've been known to do. But I think as artists, that's something that you want to do. You don't want to keep making the same album and keep doing the same thing, because that's just boring. And the last thing we ever want to do is do something that sounds like anything previous. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. You mentioned new producers, and the album does sound different, I mean, in an awesomely good way. Could you just tell the listeners how you got together with these new producers?
Yeah. Is Butter there? All right, I'll take this one as well. But yeah, basically, our manager, Jeff Adams, definitely just an amazing, amazing guy. He's been in the industry for very many years. He manages Sean Locke and Group One Crew, and he's worked with just a lot of big artists in the industry and stuff like that. And we've been with him now for a little over a year. And basically, you know, he knew this guy, Andy Anderson, that's been doing just a lot of great work and just making hits, basically. So he decided to put us in contact with him. And we basically just drove down to Orlando, which is about 4 hours north of where we are at, and just to kind of vibe and just kind of start seeing what we can do together, and to see how that relationship would just kind of gel and go from there. And we ended up making a couple of songs on our first visit, and then we just kept going and going, you know, making two or three songs every few weeks with him, driving back and forth. Just blocking out, you know, sometimes 4 or 5 days to just go to the studio with him. So that was with Andy Anderson. The other producers on the record are AD, which is basically home team for us. He's here in our area. And he did the songs Celebration and Need an Answer. And then, of course, our boy Ray King, he did the So Beautiful, which is Butta's solo song featuring Jay, which is basically just an anthem, you know, for young women.
Okay. Now, I look at this project, and you know, the idea of, you know, Red, it's like, you know, what does it mean? I mean, you can kind of read something into, you know, a title like Fingerprints. And like, my first thought is like, God's fingerprints all over things, our own fingerprints all over that, reflecting God. And so I can get a theme. But a title like Red, it's like, oh, I have no idea what this is about at all.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the theme. Why did you guys pick Red? I guess you can just keep answering questions until Butta P and K-Nuff come back on the line.
Okay, cool.
But why the theme of Red? What's in that?
My bad, I'm here. I accidentally had it on mute earlier. Oh,
okay. Yeah, why don't you take a question there?
The concept behind Red is just really, we just wanted to talk about the emotions that are triggered when you see the color red. And I think you know, we've always wanted to do that in our music overall. We wanted to make sure that anything we did was music that people can relate to. And, you know, when people would listen to it, that they can identify with what we were speaking about. So it was the same idea with Red. It was just, you know, wanting to trigger different emotions, whether it was passion, urgency, love, hunger. It is that, you know, you're at the moment, and ultimately it's really about pursuing God wholeheartedly. And so we really wanted to just kind of talk about that and just base it where we were at in our lives at the time. And so, you know, the album is, we really came from more of an inspirational concept this time. We really wanted to be encouraging with what we were talking about this time, just because of where we were at last year and just kind of the journey that God had us in and going through. And, you know, there was times that, you know, we were just kind of having a tough time within our year. And within those moments, you know, we were finding ourselves writing music just to kind of inspire people and just encouraging them to continue pursuing whatever it is that God has called them to do, whether it's, you know, whether it is be, you know, in the music industry, or whether it is pursue you going to college, or, you know, being the best father and mother that you can be, or whatever it is that drives you, and whatever it is that makes you feel like you're succeeding in that. That's kind of what we wanted to kind of trigger with this album, was just to kind of make sure that people ultimately know that everyone's been created with a purpose, and ultimately God is the one that is the one, the creator of these dreams that we have, and he's ultimately who we need to look at for guidance when it comes to all that type of stuff.
Okay. Oh, did somebody drop off?
No.
Who's still here?
I'm here.
Michael? Michael's gone.
But
are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right, so it's just us. I'm sure Michael will call back in. All right, let's talk then more than the theme. Let's talk specifically about some of the tracks on this project, because you just kind of talked about what I would consider to be an overarching theme. And I see kind of a thread going through these tracks, but they're also very standalone in their own right. Talk about some of the tracks on this project, some of the ones that stand out to you most. Tell a story behind kind of where they came from. I mean, obviously, that's kind of like saying pick your favorite child, which is, you know, a terrible thing to do. But
right. I know I can do that.
You can pick your favorite child or your favorite track.
It depends on what day you ask me. I can pick a favorite child.
what are some of the tracks that just kind of resonate deeply with you at this point?
I mean, No Walking Away was actually the first song that we did with Andy, and that was one of my favorites throughout the whole process. Just because it was something so different. Just the guitars and everything was just. Everything was just, you know, bigger and just, it was awesome. I really loved it. So that's one that definitely stands out. And then Celebration is another one that really just stands out off the top, because it's one of the last songs that we did where we really just wanted to all come at it lyrically in a really, really big way. So those are two that just come to mind for me.
Okay. How about you, Butta P?
I would say one of the tracks that stands out to me a lot is definitely Need an Answer.
Okay.
I actually picked that track, the music for it, because the producer that had it initially, he had the track for himself, and I fell in love with the beat, and I was like, man, this is the best track I've ever heard in my life, so you got to give it to us. And when they came up with the concept, it just gelled well with the track, and it was just ultimately just talking about, you know, we were just kind of at a point where we were feeling like everything that we had planned out was just kind of falling apart. And like, you know, how everyone, you know, at one point in their lives feel like, man, God, I just need you to answer me. Like, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? Is this, yeah, is this really what we're supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to continue pursuing this? Should we kind of just hang it up? Should we wait? You know, and a lot of times you'll find yourself in those waiting seasons where you just need an answer, and God is sometimes just asking you just to be patient and just wait. So that's really what that song is about, is just needing an answer for where you're at in your life and just waiting and being patient. Another song that I really like off the album is Not Forgotten. And that song was inspired by, I actually was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I was just kind of asking her, like, where she was at in her life and how she was feeling about different things. You know, she shared with me how she felt like she was forgotten. And I said, you know, why do you feel like that? And she said, well, you know, I've been able to play such a huge role in a lot of my friends' lives. I've been able to see all their major accomplishments. You know, I've been able to be part of their graduations. I've been able to be part of their weddings. I've been able to be part of their childbirths. But I'm still waiting on my turn, and I just feel like, when is it going to be my turn? And I said, wow, like that's such a deep concept, because everyone has felt like that at one point or another, whether it's just in your personal life or whether it's in your spiritual life, where you feel like you kind of you're going through a dry season and you just feel like, God, you know, where are you? So that's kind of where that song, the inspiration for that song came from. It was just really like, just wanted to encourage her and other people that feel that way, that everyone has their moment where it's their time to shine in a sense. And we just really wanted to encourage people so they knew that you know, just because you feel like it's not your moment right now, that God hasn't forgotten you, that ultimately his promise in your life is going to be fulfilled. It's just a matter of being patient and being ready for when your moment does come. So I would say those would definitely be my two tracks, and definitely also So Beautiful, that's kind of a given.
Yeah. Okay, so Michael, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, why don't you ask the next question?
Okay, so the album features a lot of big names. We have Fizzle, Benja, Jay, and Shanlock, and I think one other artist. How did you guys go about collaborating with these artists? Did you, like, was it that you finished a song and, like, you were looking for a particular sound and say, okay, all right, Fizzle would sound really good on this song, and Benja would sound good on that? Could you, like, speak on that a bit more?
Yeah. I'll do a couple. You could do the other ones. But yeah, I think it happened kind of pretty organically. I mean, it was just we never really spend a whole lot of time thinking about features. We just want to, because we've never done too many features on our actual albums before. Just because there's three of us, and it's just, you know, just figuring that out can always be something you know, somewhat of a challenge. So. A couple of them just came about really organically. Like Ryan Stevenson was the one that you didn't mention,
right.
But he's on the song called On My Way.
Right.
We were doing that song, and we were just like, man, it would be dope to get someone on the hook. You know, we don't really know who. And then Jeff, our manager, was in the studio with us, and he's like, oh, Ryan Stevenson's actually in town. Let me see if he can drive up. So he just drove up, came in, laid it down in 20 minutes, and that was that. So it just happened very easily, very organically, and he's got the heart of a worshiper and stuff, and his voice is just dope, so it just fit, and it gelled perfectly. And then Benja was one that came about, I guess, pretty quickly as well, too. We did that song, and we knew that we wanted, you know, maybe a Caribbean type of a feel or something like that. And then I just said, oh, how about Benja, you know, and we just gave him a call and sent him the track, and he loved it, and he sent it back, and it sounded great. So those were a couple of them.
Okay.
The other ones that we did were Fizzle. That one was like, we were working on the Red track, and it was just such a hard thumping track. And we were like, man, we had this gap in the track that we didn't know what to do with. And we kept playing around with the idea of just kind of making it an instrumental part of the track. And just not really knowing what we wanted to do. And then we were just like, man, you know, who would sound great on this? And someone just kind of threw the name Fizzle out there. Actually, one of our friends was in the studio with us, and he was like, man, you know, Fizzle would sound great on that. And we thought it would be awesome to work with him, because, you know, we've been able to build somewhat of a with him lately, and just kind of getting to know him, and so we thought it'd be a good opportunity to get him on the track. And when we got it back, I remember listening to it, and I was like, man, I wish we would have gave him more bars, because he's just so he has such a presence when he gets on a track. So it was just so impressive, and I just felt like I wish we would have had more time to give him more bars on the song, because I think it would have just been even better. And then Shonlock, that was actually the last song that we did for the album. The song was done. It was wrapped up. K-Nuff was actually on the chorus of that song. And again, our manager, Shonlock, so happened to be in town in Orlando, and they brought him to the studio, and they just kind of was like, hey, you know what? Why don't you try singing this to see what it sounds like? And they tried him on it, and when they sent it to us, we just fell in love with his voice, because it just fits so perfectly with the track. And then going into the album, I knew that I wanted to do a song for young girls, and I wanted to do a song. And I knew off the bat that I wanted to do a song with Jay. Jay and I had been talking for a while, possibly collabing, and I was just waiting for the right opportunity. So I knew off the top that we, her and I, were going to do a song together. I kept playing around with other ideas of other features, but I just knew that her and I would gel well together. So finally the opportunity came, and I took advantage of it.
Cool. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your sound, because I look at Christian hip hop and the groups that are kind of blowing up, and you've got, obviously Reach Records are doing their thing. I would submit respectfully, CMR is kind of on the decline, even, or kind of restructuring at least. But you've got Reach Records, Humble Beast Records. So you got that West Coast sound, that East Coast sound. But you guys are kind of like a decidedly Florida sound, and a lot of good stuff is coming out from Florida. You mentioned that Ray King had produced a track or two on the new album, and I'm familiar with his Black Friday mixtape and a few other things that he's done. So I know that he's a very capable young man, probably one of the most talented guys out there. But I don't know that Florida hip hop is blowing up as huge as I think it should. I'm like, Rayma Soul, oh my gosh, these guys are fantastic. People know who you are, but they don't know who all the other talented rappers in the state of Florida are and doing that kind of sound. Why do you think that is about the Florida Christian hip hop, the Florida Christian hip hop circles? Why do you think it hasn't blown up as big as, say, East Coast or the West Coast sound?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know that there's necessarily a black and white answer for it. And I'm afraid I could definitely say the wrong thing here. But honestly, I feel, since you mentioned Christian hip hop I don't know that the Christian audience is really ready for, and I don't say that in a boastful sense about our city or anything like that. I just don't know that the Christian audience really in general is really ready to embrace almost the sound of the world. I guess I couldn't say it any better than that, really. Just the sound that, basically what you hear on the radio. Michael Jackson, things that appeal to every age group. And I think that a lot of Christian hip hop, for all that is good in it, has always kind of been stuck in kind of a little bit of a box. And whenever someone kind of does something that's, very, very far left, it's called a lot of different things. And in our city here, man, there's just a lot of talented people, and they spring up every now and then putting things out. But since you mentioned the word blow up, I mean, I think that's the reason possibly why it hasn't happened. Not that it's not amazing or that people don't like it, but I think just on a bigger scale, people don't really know what to do with it. It's like no one really in our city fits in any particular pocket of Christian hip hop per se. So it doesn't get embraced on a very wide scale, but perhaps if some of these artists in the area had, a budget, honestly, then it could be pushed out there on a larger scale and the world would embrace it, but maybe not necessarily Christians. Again, I don't, I hope that doesn't sound offensive to anybody.
No.
But
I ask these kinds of questions because I want people to be authentic. I want people good. to
Well, I hope I offended somebody then.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm just going to piggyback on a little bit of what he was talking about. I think, too, is just if we're talking about Christian hip-hop, Christian hip-hop is very, it's always been led, like, if you really look at Christian hip-hop, it's always been led by certain groups of people. I think it's changing now, and I love where the direction it's going. But if you think of just hip-hop in general, you know, Florida's never really, when you talk about hip-hop, you never talk about Florida. Like, South Florida's never mentioned in just straight hip-hop. So I don't know. I think people get afraid of, because they don't know what to do with our sound. Same thing with Ray King's sound. You know, I think they enjoy our sound. I think they love what we do sonically. I just think sometimes lyrically and you know, for what we speak about and the way we come off, I just don't think it's the Christian hip hop mold that's somewhat been created in the past. So I don't know. We do music just because we love to do music, and we're not afraid to take chances with the music, and we want people to enjoy it and not be afraid of liking it. But I think the way, the direction that Christian hip hop is going, I'm sure they're going to start embracing it little by little and really paying more attention to it. You know, as time progresses and if we continue making, you know, doing good music, I think people, you know, they're going to fall in love with it eventually. Hopefully sooner than later.
And I'm seeing that trend too. Like, I'm currently listening to the new Trip Lee album, and kind of started with his previous album where it became more musically inclined rather than depending solidly on bangers. So he's playing with some more types of instruments that weren't normally around, and you're seeing that, you know, being done even with, you know, people like Lecrae, and especially with Tadashi. And now with Sho Baraka having Left Reach Records and doing the High Society Collective thing, and his Hello Revolution. I don't know if you heard Hello Revolution, the kind of neo-soul type deal that he's working with.
I
was like, man, just the video was sick, and the music was sick also. And it's outside of the box, and it's Christian but accessible. You know, like, I could hand it to my non-Christian friend and say, hey, listen to this. It's dope. Let's sit down and talk about it when we're done listening. Now, one of the things that I love about that shift is it's opening doors to Christian hip-hop artists to kind of go places where they haven't gone before outside the church. Not saying, okay, this is only a black church thing, and now the white church has opened the doors to the Christian hip-hop. I'm talking about even going outside of the Christian hip-hop realm and into the secular hip-hop realm. We have a few artists, I don't need to mention their names, who are doing that. What's your stance on that? Would you like to be doing something like that yourselves?
Well, we've actually always done that as far as on the local scene. We don't necessarily advertise that stuff because it's really just not our place to. But, I mean, since we started, we've always done, as far as secular venues, if that's what you mean. But, I mean, we always enjoy doing secular venues and clubs and bars and stuff like that. And a lot of people that know us know that that's something that's always kind of been our heart. But, I mean, if you mean, like, as far as crossing over into the mainstream or whatever, I mean, really just whatever happens. I mean, we don't put a whole lot of, thought into the end result. We just kind of take it as it comes and just make music that we love to be an influence. And if it gets to the point where it's, on a larger scale as far as mainstream, then so be it. And that's something that God, you know, has birthed in us. Then so be it, you know, but we don't put a whole lot of, thought into this is where we want to be, or we need to be only in this, you know, we just kind of take it as it comes.
Okay, right. Fair enough. I think, K-Nuff just logged in.
Word up.
K-Nuff.
What's up?
Hey man, we got a co-host on the line, Michael Wilds. As a matter of fact, I've been asking most of the questions here. So Michael,
right.
Why don't you ask the next question, and why don't you throw it K-Nuff's way, since he's just joining us.
Right. Well, I would follow up with that last question that you asked. Basically, how do you respond to people who would criticize the group for not being Christian enough or for having a broader market, so to speak? Like, because in the past, you guys have, I mean, obviously been criticized for doing more accessible music than the overtly Christian music. How do you deal with that criticism, and how would you respond to people who would criticize you?
That's a great way to welcome him to the interview.
I know, right? Absolutely. No pressure.
I get the big wow. Well, personally, I mean, as far as the response to the criticism, I mean, this may sound weird, but I think each one of the group members will support me when I say that when God gives you a calling or he gives you an assignment, you do it, you know, period. And you know, every assignment is going to bring its measure of criticism, you know, and with the spiritual confidence we've gained over the years through, you know, just seeing testimonies and seeing people changed by the fruits of our labor that God has just, you know, been able to show us. You know, there's things that we'll never see. We'll never know some of the fruits of our labor, but based on what he's shown us and what he's done in our lives, you know, there's a certain confidence that we have in what we're doing. And when I say in what we're doing, I'm saying in what God's doing in our music and in our direction, that really, I mean, as far as the criticism, I probably wouldn't answer to it. You know, to be honest with you, I have no comment to respond to someone that says that what I'm doing is not Christian enough, because I know my life, I know the walk that I have in my church, I know the ministry that I serve there, I know the young people that are directly underneath me, and I know the God that I serve gave me an assignment. Now, if you don't agree with it, or if someone doesn't agree with it, you know, they're entitled to their opinion, and I, you know, there's nothing I can say about that. But what I can say is that whenever you do something for God, if you are truly trying to be a member of the body of Christ, you realize and know instantly that your assignment is going to be different than, you know, other people's assignments. You know what I'm saying? And I hate to quote scripture, but in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6, it goes about the, you know, various gifts handed out everywhere, and they originate in God's spirit. But it lets us know that not everyone functions the same way. Just as it takes someone 7 times to hear Christ's name on average before someone gets saved, the different variations of how they hear the word of God or how they hear that Jesus Christ's name is not necessarily going to come from one person, or hardly ever comes from one person. So if we're the seed planters in this, we're fine. If we're the people that are just opening up the conversation, praise the Lord. And if we're the people that are there during one of our concerts and we do an altar call for salvation, then we'll be that. But we are very confident in being the finger, if that's what we are in the body of Christ. I'm a finger, and I'm going to do that finger real good. I'm going to do it real good justice, Jesus. And I'm comfortable with that. You be the feet. You be the eye.
Awesome.
I'm going to do what I'm called to do.
Now, great answer, and I'm going to ask a question that has nothing to do with anything anywhere near as deep. what's your favorite color? No. And any of you can hop in, all three of you can chime in on this. I mean, Shine in the Night came out as a single, and it was my assumption that that was going to be on the album, you know, only to be surprised that it wasn't. But that track was, you know, was pretty sick, and you guys had an accompanying video, which was, you know, just kind of a lot of fun to watch. What is, why is that not part of this album? What was that? And what is then the first video that you guys are planning to release from the Red album, and will it be a straight music video or will it be a concept video?
Well, with Shine in the Night, It's actually been exactly 2 years since we released our released Fingerprints. So we were just kind of, you know, wanting to just make sure that we kept a reminder out there that we still existed.
Because
that's just the reality of it, you know, to take 2 years off of releasing something, you know, it's tough, especially, you know, people with the generation now, like they want instant gratification. They want something all the time. And we've always been good at kind of staying consistent with providing music, starting way back to Dope Beats Good News. Like we started doing Murky Mondays, and every Monday you'd get a new song. And then after that, we started, we actually put together like a compilation project called Murky Mondays. And every Monday we were putting out a new song and doing confessionals. And we've always just wanted to kind of continue, you know, stay keeping the fans engaged. And then just musically, we were just kind of at a point. We just wanted to release something. We just, you know, we had all this music and we were in love with the song. We thought it was just something perfect to do to kind of just rep our city. We called all our friends from the city to come out and come film with us. And really it was just talking about just having a heart for your city and being the light within the darkness of your city. So it was somewhat of an anthem kind of for people to just kind of see what we were talking about. And, you know, Miami, we're living in South Florida where, you know, there's a ton of stars down here. We've got a bunch of celebrities and people come down here for the nightlife. They come out here for vacation to, you know, go clubbing. And it's kind of where people go to kind of escape. But within all this quote-unquote fun stuff going on down here, there's a lot of darkness. And we just wanted to kind of just show that, you know, we want to be that light amongst what's in that darkness and amongst those people. So that's the reason for that song. It was never really intended for it to be on the album. I think we spoke about it a few times. But once we started kind of getting the project together, we saw that it didn't really match. We saw that it really didn't match the album well. And then I'll let one of the guys kind of talk about the next video that's coming out.
Okay.
Yeah, we shot a video a couple weeks ago for the song called Breakout.
Right.
So that is going to be coming out very, 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 very soon. We had a lot of fun with it. It's kind of another big song with just a big hook, and just it has a very hard rock influence and stuff like that. So we kind of wanted to go that direction for the video. So yeah, that's going to be coming out pretty soon.
Now, is it more of a hip hop, you know, music video, or is it a concept video trying to? Oh, sorry, because I think you did, if I'm not mistaken, Fly Away,
right?
Not a while ago, and it kind of told this story that, like, I can still hardly watch that video just because it's like, wow, okay, that's deep.
It's not going to be that deep.
No, this initially we were trying to go with a concept for it, but the song is such a big sounding song that we kind of wanted to keep it simple visually. So it's really a big performance video, and then there's a few visuals in there that kind of it has like a kind of like a small storyline underneath it all. But for the most part, it's really just kind of a performance video and kind of us just kind of bringing forward a new look to us and a new sound and kind of just reintroducing ourselves somewhat.
Okay. Hey, Mike. Michael, you asked the next question. I'll ask one more, and then we'll just kind of wrap this all up.
All right, so given the awesome reception you guys had yesterday, what next can we expect from Rima Soul for the upcoming year?
Well, I guess Buddy P would be best at answering that, but I'm going to tell you what I think she would say.
Go ahead, do it.
I guess up next... We're planning on partnering with, you know, some organizations that are like-minded in,
right,
and just a lot of, I guess, socially, well, I don't know what the word is, but socially deprived situations,
right,
like, you know, orphans and, you know, different stuff. We're going
right
to act with a few of those. That's already been in the talks. You know, maybe do some touring so we could, you know, spread the word and do the part we love doing, which is actually ministering after we're doing our music. And as far as musically, we're going to let this ride. We're going to ride this wave as long as we can. But who knows? I mean, Butter P might throw a solo album in someone's face.
That would be awesome.
Enough might throw a solo album in someone's face, and One Love might throw a book in someone's mouth. So it can go anyway, you know. But those are some things that we're thinking about.
Thrown at me a solo project in the face or a book in the mouth. I don't know.
Book in the mouth. Which one would you prefer?
It's pure violence, which is what we stand for.
Pure violence. That would be exciting. If any of that happened, I would be really excited for any of that to pop off.
Well, I think the Butter P thing would be the sooner one out of all of them. Actually, I'm not sure, actually, to tell you the truth. Any one of those can happen at any given time. It's crazy.
Are you actually serious about that? Because, I mean, that would be awesome. or maybe they won't, and we're just being really, really mean.
that's possible, too. In which case I'm gonna hit the Holy Culture Forum and just rip on you guys all day. Like, they're a bunch of liars.
Please do.
They're a bunch of liars.
So, okay.
No, I mean, I think we're more. I say that more seriously, I guess, than they'll probably say. But I seriously see it. You know, all those things. I've always wanted to do a solo project. Butter P needs to do one because women need that representation. And Juan Love is a genius in my eyes and in the eyes of his children.
I think that would be great to have any of that from you guys. But, I mean, obviously new album's out, doing pretty well. I think it's in the top 20 on iTunes right now. Possibly going to be touring. Video's coming out soon. Looking forward to see that. Where can people... I mean, we live in an increasingly digital age, so where can people go on the internet to kind of find out more about who you are, you know, where they can buy your music, you know, et cetera, et cetera? Where can people find out more about Rhema Soul, what you guys are doing?
MySpace.com.
Awesome. You guys,
that's awesome.
Do you have a Zanga, too?
And a Live Journal.
No, just everything's on RhemaSoul.com. Twitter, RhemaSoul, Facebook, RhemaSoul. But anything that you want to find out about RhemaSoul is going to be on RhemaSoul.com.
Okay, cool. Well, again, thank you, guys. As always, guys and girl, it is always a pleasure to catch up with you and just kind of shoot the breeze and have fun with it and talk about what God is doing in your life and what's going on with your album and everything. I love it. So thanks so much for taking the time, and we'll let you guys go.
Hey, Michael. Our manager, wanted me to tell you that he enjoyed the review that you did thoroughly. He said it's one of the best reviews he's ever read. He said
Thank you so much.
That you sat down and actually listened to the record, and he said you did a phenomenal job. So he wanted me to tell you that.
Thank you so much.
There you go, Michael. Yeah, Michael's one of our, in my opinion, sometimes you hit pay dirt, and I've, quote-unquote, hired a lot of different writers, and some of them have fizzled out and not panned out, but Michael has gotten respect from lots of people. I've gotten email after email saying thank you for the thorough review over on Holy Culture Forum, which I frequent just to kind of keep my ear to the ground. People have said of our staff whose reviews they like, hey, Michael Wilds is really thorough. I mean, I knew before I went in to buy an album whether I should or not, what would be good, what wouldn't be good. Obviously, it's a matter of opinion to some degree, but just the fact that he's thorough about it. So, yeah, Michael's amazing. I can't talk him up enough. And apparently, Rhema Soul's manager likes you too, Michael. So
they should hire him. Good stuff. You need to give him a raise.
I will.
Maybe get something to impress.
All right. All right, you guys all have a good night, and we'll catch you.
All right, brother, thanks. Take care.
All right, have a good night.